Hi, family. My name is Carol. I'm a grateful recovering addict. My clean date is 9/1/92, and I'm grateful for that date. But the most important date is today. I'm just gonna qualify a little bit. I live to use and use to live. I started out with alcohol, and I ended up being an intravenous drug user and used it for about 25 years of my life. I'm old school. I'm getting older. I just turned 60 yesterday. And, you know, but 60 is now the new 40 or 30. 30? Okay, I like you. Yeah. The new 30, okay? And the young lady, I got something from out of each one of the speakers here today. You know, I feel that. I got something out of every one of them. And when Brandy was speaking, she got here young. I got here kind of older. I was 41 when I got here. And I have to pinch myself because I cannot believe that I've been here 18 years, almost 19. I couldn't get 18 minutes clean and didn't want it. So it's a miracle. It's only through God's grace and His mercy that I didn't get what I deserved. I just didn't. He didn't give it to me, and I'm grateful for that. The topic that was picked for me is the triangle of self-obsession. And what that is resentment, anger, and fear. And you know what? I lived in resentment, anger, and fear for most of my life. That's how I got to using. And also being brought up, you know, when I was brought up, you know, my parents, they drank. You know, everybody drank around us. You know, drinking was acceptable. I later found out they were alcoholics, but they didn't know it. But drinking was acceptable. Now, shooting dope and all that stuff, that was kept kind of quiet. You know, that went out in the open too much at first. You know what I mean? So I was brought up, you know, like that. And I started drinking at a young age. And it was a lot of things going on in the household that, you know, first of all, we were poor. We didn't have much. It was seven of us. I was the oldest. I always wanted a older brother. I was resentful. I didn't have one. I was the oldest, and I had a lot of responsibilities because a lot of times my parents would be drunk, and I would have to take over the responsibilities. I didn't feel it was, you know, right. And but you know, back when I was coming up, you wasn't allowed to say what wasn't right. You weren't allowed to say nothing, okay? You were seen and not heard. And it was a lot of secrets kept in the household, a lot of abuse, you know, it was violence, different things like that. So I had a lot of resentment. And, you know, that's why I love the program of Narcotics Anonymous. We got literature here. We got information pamphlets, and they're free. So you can read them so you get some money to get a basic test, how and why, and all the other stuff. And when I came up, in the program, when I got to the program, thank God for the Allegheny County Criminal Division, because that's how I got here. I was one of them people that went in and out of rehabs, but I went in and out of the penitentiary, county jails, and stuff like that. So I got the nudge from the judge, and I came here, and all I heard was, work the steps or die, it's in the literature, blah, this, that, and the other, and I was like, tore up from the floor up, y'all, when I got here. It was not nothing nice, okay? I had been beaten. Like it tells us in our book, I was beaten, and so I became willing. So I was willing to do whatever it was I needed to do. And, you know, my judge told me to come here on, it was like July 1st, 1992, my clean date's 9/1/1. So for a couple months, I kept using on and off. And then finally I asked this woman that I had knew was in jail with me. I said, you know, I really got to get clean because I was scared of going back to the penitentiary. That was my motivation. And I said, what should I do? She said, well, you're a heroin user. You probably need to go to a detox and stuff. But then she said the question, do you believe in God? And I was like, oh, man, I knew it was something to it, a cult or something. And I was like, because by this time in my life, I never was, like, brought up in the church or nothing. I never had a relationship with God. And I figured, if there was a God, why did he let me go through all this stuff in my life? So I said, I don't know. I ain't sure. So she said, well, don't worry about all that. Just believe that I believe. And go to the detox. And when you get there, get on your knees and pray. And ask God to remove the obsession and compulsion to use from you. And that's what I did, y'all. And that was my first spiritual experience, or spiritual awakening, whatever you want to call it. I got on my knees when I went there that night. Well, first of all, when I walked in the door, I seen a nice dog thing. I was like, her hands was big, you know, the kind that I could relate to. She had big hands, you know, and all that, and I knew her from the street. And I was like, thank you, you know? And then I got on my knees that night, and I prayed, and I said, God, or whatever, whoever's out there, please remove the obsession and compulsion to use from me. And I stayed in that detox about 4 days. Now, I had before, prior to this, y'all, I've been to methadone houses, penitentiary, recovery house, rehab, you know, all that stuff. Okay, but then when I got on my knees and said that prayer, that 4 days, I had my little check at the bank, food stamps, you know. But I didn't have no urge to use. This was big for me. Okay, this was amazing because I had always had it. I had even went to Muncie one time, did a year and a half, and as soon as I got ready to leave, my stomach started turning like I was sick. Now, you know I ain't sick after a year and a half, but that's what it was for me. So I didn't have none of this. So, you know, H and I had came in. Kudos to H and I. I do H and I. I love H and I. That's my niche. And when they came in, I was like eager. You know, I was on the edge of my seat. And that's another thing about this. I believe, not trying to send nobody, but I'd like to sit up here in a critical care unit. Not back there in Relapse Row, because I can get easily distracted. So I need to be up here where I can pay attention. And so I was sitting at edge of my seat when H and I came in, and I heard them talking about, you know, when you get out of here, don't go home until your man screw them and kiss your baby. All right, go to a meeting and let people know, okay, I'm new and I need help. And so that's what I did. Talked about getting a sponsor, home group, all that. I did that for my first couple years. I went to so many meetings, and I'm still a meeting maker. I go to probably about five or six meetings a week still, because I want to go now. I can remember asking my sponsor, how long I got to go to these meetings? And she said, until you want to go, and now I want to go, and every chance I get, I go, because I get something when I go there. You know what I mean? I get to help somebody, or I get some help. You know, so all I heard was work the steps or die. That's all. Change you must, die you will, all that. So I was not afraid of the steps. You know what I mean? I was really eager to get you because I knew I needed a whole change, you know, changeover. I needed some drastic stuff. And they kept saying it's going to happen with the step process. And it has happened. And I've been through the steps a couple of times. I just got done with my four step again, because you know we got new literature, and I love the Flatbook too. I got two home groups. I got Courage to Change, which was my first one, and I got another one, the Flatbook group. And I love that meeting because it helps me to get more into me, you know what I mean, and dig a little bit deeper. And so I started doing this step. That's when I started finding out about my resentment, anger, and fear. And it says the opposite of that is love, is acceptance, love, and faith. And I believe that because, but you know, I was doing this fourth step again, and I'm understanding I still have some of the resentments that I had early on. But they're not, it's not as deep as as intense as it was. I have been able to work through some of my resentments with my mom. I mean, you know what I mean? And my stepfather and brothers and sisters, all that kind of, them kind of issues, you know what I mean? Get some freedom in those areas, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's just recovery is teaching me how to grow up, you know what I mean? And when I got clean, you know, I'm just grateful, you know. I gotta say this. My brother walked in the door, you know. That's my brother over there, Rob, and he lives up here in Altoona now, and we don't get to see each other a lot like we used to and everything. You know, lives change and all that, but you know, just like addiction affects each of our lives, so does recovery. Somebody else said that up here today. It really does, and recovery is more powerful than addiction because God is in it. And when I got clean, I was the first one to get clean, and it's seven of us, and I have, he's clean, I got another brother clean, and I got another sister clean, so it was four of us clean, so you know what I mean? And I ain't saying I had nothing to do with that, but I'm just saying that, you know, God is good, and he's working in my family, you know what I mean? And it's awesome, you know what I mean? Because the older I get, I don't know about nobody else, but the older I get, the more the relationships in my life mean more to me. You know what I mean? I had some resentments with God about, you know, I had a husband, and we were married for 34 years, and my husband died May 4th, 2009, so it's just been just over 2 years that he's been gone, and I'm still grieving my husband. I am grieving him every day, and, you know, when the dates come up for his death or his anniversary or his birthday, you know, those are the days when it hits me more. You know, it's more impactful on me, and, you know, I'm working through my resentment with God. Why did you take him? We were just starting to live clean together, you know. But you know what I mean? I can't question God. God knows best. And Cisco had an opportunity to have 10 years clean. Okay, we had an opportunity to live two lives in one. We used together for years. Then I got clean first, and he was able to get clean. And we did some things that we never thought we would do. He used to always say, they ain't had no boats coming up on Center Avenue. We was able to go to the Bahamas. You know, we was on the boat. We was like, baby, we in the Bahamas. You know what I mean? A dope fiend like me in the Bahamas. Well, I can't get off Center Avenue unless I was going stealing. Then I could go. You know what I mean? But other than that, I didn't go too many places. So, you know what I mean? And I know that God's been with me and is still with me through this grief process. You know what I mean? And I had to realize, you know, sometimes I think I'm strong and I'm this strong black woman and, yeah, I'm God, black power, all this crazy stuff. Thinking I should be able to handle this and that. But I recognized, like, right at Christmas time that I was, like, getting really, really, really depressed. So they say we need outside help sometimes. Dang, something went off in my mind. Okay, you need some outside help for this issue. So I went to and got started doing some grief counseling, and it's helping me so much because it's allowing me to have a place where I can go twice a month or more if I need to, but I go usually go twice a month where I can be around people that's going through the same thing I'm going through. Some have been going through it longer, some shorter, but that's a safe place where I can just cry, be happy, whatever I need to do, you know, because a lot of times, you know, my diseases tell me people in Narcotics Anonymous is tired of hearing you, whether you are or not, though, it's my responsibility to try to recover in all areas. So I've been doing that, and it so happened on the anniversary of his death, May 4th, I had my grief group. It was like, wow, God, thank you. You know what I mean? And when I go there, it amazes me. They tell me, you help us so much. You know what I mean? When I think I'm in pain, they telling me I'm helping them. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Just like our program. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to work through my resentment, you know what I mean, and anger and fear. Because you see, when I'm angry or resentful or fearful, I hurt myself. I don't hurt other people. I'm not the type of person that gets angry and want to kill everybody and all that. I do something to myself. I'll start eating too much. You know, I know I've been eating away my emotions. I'll start, you know, getting irritable, cussing people out, just stuff. You know what I mean? So I try to get to, I got to keep some faith, you know, that, you know what I mean? Things ain't gonna always be like this. And feelings ain't always fact. It's a fact that I'm feeling, but, and also feelings pass. This too shall pass. And it may not be when I want it to be, but it passes. And then the other thing is, you know how we say, and I hate this sometimes, especially when I'm going through stuff, when they say, you ain't going through this for yourself, you're going through this for somebody else, and you're going to help them. I'll be like, I don't want to be the one to help nobody else, okay? I don't want to go through this. But believe me, through this stuff with my husband and his illness and all that, and so many people that come up and ask me, how did you get through it? You seem to be, I said, you know, it's God just helped me through it. And the people in Narcotics Anonymous were amazing to me. You know what I mean? I remember the moment I called one person and said, Cisco passed. Everything else was like a blur because everybody was there and they did everything for me. They had to wait. They cooked all the food. I mean, you know what I mean? My family was there. It was just like, wow. And you know what I mean? When you come in this program and you make yourself available, and if you open your mouth and say what you need, you can get what you need. I'm available to people. That's why they're available to me. If I don't put nothing in, I'm not going to get nothing out. So newcomer, old-timer, some-timer, if you ain't putting nothing in, you ain't getting nothing out. It's just like, don't go down the bank if you ain't got no money down there, because you might end up in the jail, okay? So, you know, but this process is awesome. You know, you meet wonderful people along the way. You know, it's an honor for me to be here sharing with Gordon. I mean, Gordon was my husband's sponsor. And, you know, and I got a bond with him and his wife. You know what I mean? Because it's just like, I remember that one time that we were going, I got to tell y'all this. He was fortunate, my husband, right? So I didn't think he was, you know, he was getting better fast enough. You know? So I asked Gordon, I said, Gordon, is y'all working a step? What step is y'all on? He said, none of your business. Stay out of our business. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know. I thought, baby. But, you know, I knew him for a long time. You know what I mean? It's just, and that's helpful to me because there's, you know, sometimes I just need a hug from a man, a guy. You know what I mean? And I ain't trying to get in no relationship right now, okay? I still feel married. I really do. I still wear my wedding rings. I'm not there with all that. But sometimes I just, you know, and I have men friends today. And I can go and say, Gordon, I need a hug, or I need to talk to you about something, or something about my car that I don't know about, or whatever, you know, and they've been there for me. You know, I got this other guy, Roy, him and Cisco was cool, and he's my car guy. You know what I mean? All my car problems. And he told me, he said, your husband asked me to help take care of you. And I was like, wow. And he said, I'm honored to do anything I can do to help. You know what I mean? And it's just amazing to me, the people that love me and the people I love, because I was not the type of person that cared nothing about nobody. I really did. I was like, if you got any dope or money, if you ain't got nothing, I ain't got time to talk. And now, you know what I mean? I have a lot of people in my life. And I have a lot of women I sponsor. I heard somebody saying, you know, they can't sponsor for three. That's them. I don't sponsor for one person at a time. It might be 20 on the list or 30 sometimes. But, you know, God works all that out. You know, he'll give you more than you can handle. You know what I mean? Not me. And I got relationships with each and every one of them. Healthy ones, intimate ones. I told him I got enough love for all y'all. You know, because, you know, sometimes they get a little crazy and jealous about, oh, you my sponsor and this and that, you, and all that. Look, I love all y'all, okay? I got enough love for y'all. Oh, we all got different relationships, and it's okay. And I tell them, hey, y'all call each other too, okay? Give me a break. You know, and they do that too. You know what I mean? And if there's any resentment, anger, and fear in them relationships, we try to resolve that. I tell them, I'm only human, okay? Don't put me on no pedestal. Do not put me way up here because I will fall in a minute. I might cuss you out or something. And, you know, I might be just there that day. I'm not always spiritual, you know what I mean? And that's just the way it is, but acceptance is the key. I try to accept you. Please try to accept me. And if we got something to work out, you know we're supposed to be, we can disagree without being disagreeable. We ain't got to start fighting and all that. I'm too old to be fighting. I don't want to be fighting and trying, you know, and all that stuff. So we can talk about things like that. You know what I mean? But I love this process. This is an awesome process. And I'm not going to ramble, so thanks for letting me speak.